On 88.3 Southern FM, this is Kickoff with Neil Simons and Michael Thompson.
It's a very good morning wherever you are listening around on 88.3 Southern FM, whether it's in Brighton, in Bayside, in Melbourne, or if you're listening on the TuneIn app around Australia where you can do that. This is Kickoff. We're back for another big show, and boy, we've got a big, big menu from now until 10:30. We're going to be joined by Melbourne City midfielder Rihanna Policina. She's going to talk about the A-League women's side. She's going to talk about Melbourne City in particular after moving there from the Newcastle Jets. South Melbourne's Perry Lambropoulos is going to join us as well before the big cup tie against Melbourne City. And then we're going to be joined by 7 News Adelaide and Kick 360 journo Lucas Ronaldo, who's going to go over Adelaide United. His Twitter account has been very, very good, and his stories on 7 News have been fantastic about Adelaide United.
Fantastic.
As I welcome in Neil Simons. Neil, good morning.
Good morning, Tomo. It's nice to be back after a week break. Obviously, a lot of football happening with the FFA Cup and things like that. We're heading into the New South Wales and Victorian sort of rounds. We actually had a game last night, Mount Druitt versus Wollongong, but other than that...
I did catch bits and pieces of that.
I did not. I watched a little bit of the first half, just thought... You know, I should probably mentally prepare myself before Manchester United play. That didn't go too great.
The less said about that, the better.
Yeah.
I did wake up. I did watch the first half, but I was really tired. So I went to bed and I woke up this morning and saw the scoreline. I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, look, it wasn't pretty. But, you know, that's just the circumstances in which United have put themselves in. But other than that, within Australian football, obviously a lot of news within the past couple of weeks. We will talk on that major news item being Josh Carvalho. That's been all over the world. It's beginning to sort of simmer down a little bit, and we'll talk to Lucas about that more in depth. But the A-League men's is 2 weeks away.
Yep.
From Saturday, City will be taking on Brisbane Roar. But we do have a massive week of football, though.
FFA Cup,
Socceroos.
Yep.
And of course, South Melbourne versus Melbourne City, where we will be chatting to Perry Lambropoulos in about a half an hour.
I'll say this though. You are going to be the busiest man this week alone. So Wednesday, you're going to a game in Victoria for the FFA Cup.
Yeah, so I'll be heading up to Port Melbourne. So I'll be heading up to Broadmeadows to see Hume City take on Port Melbourne.
ABD Stadium. If you haven't been to ABD Stadium,
it's a great,
fantastic little boutique
ground.
Stadium.
Yeah, very good. Thursday, I'm flying up for the Socceroos at 7 in the morning, which will be great.
It's you and Tom, isn't it?
Yeah, flying Tom up. And I are flying up, which is going to be great. And then, so literally, we will fly back at about 1:30 the next day, so we can get back in Melbourne about 3:30, head straight to Clarendon Street for South versus City, and then Saturday I might be heading to Geelong for West United versus Newcastle in the FFA Cup. So a busy, busy, busy schedule for myself, but I couldn't be more happy.
Exactly, football's back and crowds are back too at venues too.
Absolutely.
Some of the news as well coming around too that. Capacity, before we get into the team previews, capacity have been announced for the upcoming first week of the A-League here in Melbourne. We've just heard that it's going to be a 50% capacity.
And yeah.
It's better than nothing, I'd say.
Yeah, it's better than nothing. I think you look at the two games that have been scheduled for that first week before we have the, in theory, 100% capacity. I think it's what? Melbourne City versus Brisbane and the Battle of the Bridge between West United and Melbourne.
Yep.
Victory. So... Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think that City will definitely not sell out. They don't sell 15,000 tickets per game. That game for West United, I hope it sells out, but we've never seen that game draw over 10,000 at GMHBA, so I'd be interested to see what happens. But yeah, it's positive news nonetheless, and obviously plays into account for the South Melbourne fixture as well.
Yep, and what we're seeing as well, that crowds are still allowed to go to the FFA Cup games as well this week, which is really good to see.
Yep.
South Melbourne will have a 5K cap capacity at Lakeside Stadium. Also, and it's better though because the basketball, I know next weekend they're playing behind closed doors, which is a little bit of double standards in my personal opinion.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's a very interesting thing. I think it's a decision of capacity constraints in the confines of health, and also
I think because these are more outdoors.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And the NBL is going to be indoors.
I understand that. And look, it is what it is. But you just play all your games at open roof, is that right? Stadiums?
Open roof stadiums, yeah.
If you're in the NBL, just unleash the high sensory, high sense, geez, Melbourne Arena.
John Cain Arena. John,
oh, my word. I just can't keep up, man. It's like with Combank Stadium and Bankwest Stadium. It's just ridiculous.
Remember Marvel Stadium, Etihad Stadium, Colonial Stadium.
Telstra Dome. Yeah. I mean, I grew up on Telstra Dome and Etihad, so that's just how it is. But I think we should head into the team previews.
We should indeed.
So Melbourne City, currently the A-League champions and premiers, this off-season had... They actually made a signing, I think, before the grand final. Who did they announce? A player by the name of Matthew Lecky, who's a very experienced player in Europe. Spent 10 years in Germany, the likes of FC Ingolstadt, and also most recently Hertha Berlin. He has a lot of pedigree as a winger for the Socceroos, has been actually selected in the Socceroos squad for the upcoming qualifiers.
And this is good for football in Australia too. To have someone like Matthew Lecky back on home soil this season too. And for Melbourne City now, who are the champions, and they're now the benchmark in Victorian football, they've had bumper membership drives for the fact is that, you know, they brought in Lecky and McLaren's going to be playing more
games
this season.
Yeah, McLaren, Naboo, Pucciarelli, who they've also signed as well. He comes to the club with an interesting CV, having played for Empoli for about 9 seasons, where he scored 17 goals as a second striker, but City will be playing him in a similar, like, Adrian Luna role as a 10, so that'll be interesting. Looking across the board, the team is relatively unchanged. No departures of note besides Luna.
Craig Noon went to MacArthur.
And also Craig Noon as well, he's gone to MacArthur, so that's an interesting interesting little thing for them, but... Yeah, we'll see what happens with them. I think it's going to be a very interesting campaign.
Jordan Hall gets to
live
out his dream too, because he got to, you know...
Yeah, he was a Green Gully
in the NPL, and now he gets to finally play a big game in the A-League. And I'm looking at this line now, and it's still...
It's scary, stacked. Man. It's scary. Yeah. You're starting, you know, you got like... You got Nathaniel Atkinson and Connor Metcalf as well, who are, you know, by their own right, two very, very strong players in their positions. I think Atkinson really shone out at the Olympics against, you know, formidable defenses. It's formidable attacks in the form of Argentina and Spain. I think where Australia were close to keeping a clean sheet, a 0-0 draw in that one. So I think Atkinson was pivotal, and Connor Metcalf as well.
Tom Glover's a fantastic goalkeeper.
He's a good goalkeeper, but he's got a good defense in front of him. I think Curtis Good and Nuno Reis, and also Roston Griffiths to an extent, are also, they're very good holding, stopping defenders.
Yep.
But Glover's a good goalkeeper, and I'd be very keen to see how he develops this season.
And you've still got the experience of Scott Jamieson. You've got Scott Galloway too,
great.
Who's also another experienced head, even though he's 26 years of age. So Melbourne City, though, like, they're stacked from defence, which is, it's going to be hard to see them, maybe, it's going to be very hard for them to, let goals in for that, because I think now they've got the most stacked defense I've ever seen in the A-League.
Yeah, defense. I'd say victory pretty close, though.
A victory
to be perfectly honest with you. I mean, like, Jason Davidson, you know, Roderick Miranda on paper looks incredible. Spira, obviously, he's a little bit unfit, but you obviously got Jason Guerra on the right, so I don't think you could discount them, but I think City are definitely potentially going to be the title favorites for this year, and I'd probably agree with that. Brisbane Roar, obviously, have had some FFA Cup fixtures. They've played two, in which they defeated Lions FC 2 weeks ago. Cyrus Demi, a youngster who's actually rejected a Liberian call-up and has decided to declare for Australia, which is unexpected. They've picked up some pretty decent players in the form of Matthew Steinman from East Bengal, formerly of the Wellington Phoenix. Nikolai Muliuznic, he's formerly of Adelaide United. Luka Benovic. From Sydney FC, Juan Lescano from a second division club in Russia, which I'm not going to pronounce.
Henry Hall gets the opportunity too from an NPL level, which is great
to see. I'm going to put the spotlight on them. Jordan Holmes was in the Oli Roos squad, but came from Ebbersfleet, formerly of, I believe, Bournemouth.
Yep.
Jez Lofthouse from Olympic FC.
Yep.
He is a fantastic, very technical player. The physicality, I think, will be something that will be interesting to see if he is able to... adjust to signing a 2-year deal. Henry Hoare from South Melbourne, very good midfielder. I think he's very good at controlling the play. He's a nice little 8 as well. Can play, you know, across the line. I think he's really good at, you know, getting defensive. He can also play up in those forward positions as well.
Aidan Mumford, who's come over from Wolves FC in Sydney in the NPL New South Wales.
He was signed, I think, yesterday. And also Nick Oldson, who's from Kaitan SC, I think, in the Qatari First Division. I think, if I'm not mistaken, let me just double check that.
And then a few players who have dearly departed.
Sorry, my apologies.
Dearly departed from the Roar. Macaulay Gillespie.
Yeah, a lot of players.
Over to Plymouth, so he's gone over to England to hone his craft, which is good to see. Courtney Perkins has headed over to Poland.
Yeah, Joey Champness has gone to Giresunspor.
Yep.
He was on loan from the Jets. Anthony Burke-Gilroy, they signed on a free. He's gone to Perth.
Wendell Halls has headed over to
United. That's probably the biggest loss, I think.
He was good last season.
He was good, but I think people don't put into context that this guy slowed down a lot coming to the end of the season. Also, I think it was a bit lucky as well. Juan Lescano will do well this season. I think Luka Ivanovic is bound for breakout season two. But yeah, Warren Moon's a very solid coach. So I see this team making finals, probably fifth or sixth, to be honest. But see what happens.
Maybe the cog in Melbourne City's told the fans, because they're constantly consistent. They're always up there. They always make the grand final. We're talking about the Sky Blues, known as Sydney FC.
So Sydney FC, again, have had another interesting offseason. They're not known for their squad turnover so much, that they've got quite a very good and very solid, you know, contingent of players that they like to keep for a long period of time. In terms of players that they brought in, Max Burgess from West United, who basically sat out an entire season due to the spat that he had with Mark Rodan, which is unfortunate. I think he's a fantastic eight, who I think really has Socceroos potential. I mean, this guy's only 26 years of age, turning 27. He's really entering the prime of his career.
Connor O'Toole coming from Newcastle Jets.
Yeah, Connor O'Toole. James Donaghy as well, coming from the Jets as well.
That was Cam Sobers, probably the big one.
In terms of what, Tomo?
I'd say more cult status, because he had a bit of a cult status at Melbourne Victory.
I mean, look, he was somewhat disliked by portions of the fan base, which is understandable. He's an NPL player by extension, and I think he's got quality in terms of his dribbling statistics. And I don't think his IQ was there in his first couple of years of the Victory, but he really grew into it as time went by. I think he's having a really good preseason as well with Sydney FC by all accounts. So it's good. They did lose 3-0 to the Mariners yesterday, which is interesting. And also Anton Milinaric has gone to Brisbane Roar on loan, and have also let go of Alexander Bomjohan, Patrick Flotman, Geordie Swibble, who's actually signed with the Wanderers. Ryan McGowan has gone to Kuwait SC, which is probably the biggest departure.
Yep.
Just slot James Lodicky. I think they're pretty similar defenders, to be honest.
Yeah, exactly.
They've also re-signed Bobo and Will and Anthony Caceres. And Wilkerson, Trent Bahaja, Chris Davila, and Tom Heward-Bell, all to 1 or 2 year contracts. In the case of Caceres, 3 years. Where there is an interview with Caceres on kick360.com.au. Sorry, Tom.
You had to do a cheeky little plug there.
Had to do it. And of course, the Central Coast Mariners will be the last team that we sort of delve into.
Yep.
Obviously, people thought that their roster was decimated. Yes, it was. They lost Alan Stajic. He's signed. I still can't believe this. He has signed with the Philippines national women's team for the Asian Cup next year, which is interesting. I have to say, I think that they're coming up against the Matildas as well in that Asian Cup, so that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. In terms of players that they've signed, they've actually had quite a good offseason, in my opinion, despite all the acrimony surrounding their departures, which we will get into. Nikolai Müller, who has German caps. Like, he's played for Germany's senior team twice. You know, he's played, you know, 15-plus years in Germany for the likes of Grande Fürth, Mainz, Heimburg, Eintracht Frankfurt, you know, as recent as 2019. So this guy's got a lot of pedigree. I don't think we can discount the quality that he can bring to the table for the Mariners. Noah Smith from Adelaide United, he got frozen out of the team after 9 games. Thought I was pretty done, hard done by. Sy Godard, who I think is another interesting one. He's 24. Was on the loan. Was on Tottenham's books as recently as 2018. And was also at Benevento in Serie B. Recently played 19 games for Mumbai City.
They've recruited Jacob Fowler, who was in Central Coast's under-21 squad. Elevated him.
They've elevated.
Elevated up.
Yeah, you know, he apparently by all accounts he's got really good. I think it just demonstrates the youth development pathways that the Mariners provide.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. Benny Nicololo, of course, from the French second or third tier.
Concano. I'm not good with French pronunciation.
I think it's Benny Nicololo. I'm not sure. Storm Roo from the Victory. Yaron Sosa from, I think, a club in Turkey. And Mateos Mosh, who designed last week, 23. So I think the Mariners are really going for very young foreigners, which is interesting. A very interesting approach. I think you could argue that, why don't you give it to an Australian spot? I do agree with that. I do concur with that. But, you know, the Mariners' stocks are quite deep.
Yep.
But look at his departures, man.
Jack Clisby.
Jeez. Jack Clisby, Alu Kwal, Danny De Silva, Stefan Nigro, Gianni Stenstis, who has a Socceroos camp to participate in this week. Mikhail Yanota and Jankovic didn't really do much last season. Jordan Smiley's gone to Blacktown City, and Matthew Cale's gone to, he's just a free agent. Yeah, I mean they have kept Birigidi and Kai Rowles, which is back, which is really good. But yeah, what do you think, mate?
I think the Mariners will be fine. I don't think they're going to drop too much down the table as most people might think. But I think Mariners, they won't finish potentially in the same spot. They might finish between, like, I would say 5 to 7. I think this season 5 to 7.
I'd say the 10th or 9th, to be honest. I think it's not an indictment on the Mariners. It's a reflection on the quality that's coming into the league this season. Yeah. I think you just cannot discount that whatsoever.
I think I'm a bit more bullish because I think the Mariners can cause a few upsets this season.
Perhaps. I mean, we'll see. I think I'd be interested to see how they line up if they want to start Morash up front. They've lost Alu Kwal. Matt Simon's still on the side. A lot of questions to be asked and hopefully answered very soon.
Absolutely. We're going to take our first small break here on Kickoff for your Sunday morning. That was a big last four, which is good. We'll get into the A-League women's teams from next week. But joining us on the other side is Rihanna Polisina, former Melbourne City. Looking forward to chatting a bit of A-League women's on the other side of this. Neil Simons, Michael Thompson with you. Back more shortly after this.
You're listening to Kickoff on 88.3 Southern FM.
Back on Kickoff for your Sunday morning here on 88.3 Southern FM. We're going to divert our attention now from the A-League men's to the A-League women's. One of them is newly appointed midfielder for Melbourne City, Rihanna Polisina. She joins us this morning. Rihanna, welcome to Kickoff.
Thank you for having me, guys.
How's the move been from Newcastle? You were very integral last season in that Jets lineup, and what's the vibe feel for you heading into this season now playing under Rado Vidicic?
Yeah, it's our third week of preseason at the moment, and I'm really happy with the move so far. Enjoying training and stuff like that. Preseason just started, so it's been challenging, but the coaches have been managing our loads really well. Obviously, most of us have not been able to play for the past 6 months, so it's looking good. Rado's been great, and yeah, I'm really happy with the move from Newcastle to Melbourne, that's for sure.
And I think it's more so a reflection on Melbourne City's recruitment strategies. I think, obviously, recruiting yourself and the likes of a lot of other players, which we'll touch on very soon. But in terms of last season's Melbourne City's performance wasn't that great, what systems are being put in place by Rado to ensure that City can jot up the table once again?
I definitely think it's building that team culture. Because when you have 18 players that want to work and want to fight for each other, that's what brings results on the field. So I think it's just driving and being one unit, and that's our main goal to start off with. And then obviously the little tweaks will come when Rado tells us the way he wants to play and stuff like that. So at the moment, it's just working hard, getting to training, working hard, pumping out those sessions to make sure we're ready for round one in 3 weeks. So that's our main focus at the moment.
And one person in particular I'm very happy to see back playing professional football too is New Zealand international Rebecca Stott. What's it like to have someone like her with her experience around such a good group of girls?
Oh, Stott is great. She's absolutely amazing. She's definitely someone that I look up to. Just like I've only known her for the past 2 weeks. And yeah, she's just a good person. Awesome player, like it's just someone that you want on your team, and she just brings that culture as well because she's actually a pretty funny person, so she makes us laugh, as I said, she's great to have around and definitely someone that I'm looking up to, that's for sure.
And I think for yourself heading into the season, I'm sure you have some personal goals as well as team goals, but sort of what's the ambition I think for this season across the board?
Definitely top four. If not, we always I hate losing personally, and I know like all the other girls do. So we're aiming high. We want to take out the league, and we'll start with our top four position, and then we'll see where it goes from there, I suppose.
100%.
Absolutely. And Rihanna as well, you were the club's player of the year last year for Newcastle too. It's a pretty big signing for Melbourne City to get someone who is well regarded as one of the best players out in the park last season for the Jets, wasn't it?
Yeah, thank you for that. As I said, like when you have someone like a club like Melbourne City knocking on your door, it's kind of hard to put past the offer. But yeah, I'm very grateful for what Jets have done, and like they gave me the opportunity to get back into the league, and now I'm following that dream at City. So hopefully I'm pushing for more. But yeah, like as I said, I'm grateful for Jets, and when you have a club like City knocking on your door, you're going to take up that opportunity, I guess.
Absolutely. Within Victoria, there's obviously the MPLW as well, and City have really dipped into the MPLW as of late for this this recent off-season and off-seasons prior. Naomi Chinema, Caitlin Carrick, those two are really string to mind. For a player like yourself, what do you think your role is in terms of mentoring the young players and ensuring that they get out to a standard? Because Australia has been well renowned for their fantastic youth development systems, especially within the women's game.
Yeah, for sure. I suppose one of my morals and what I achieve to do is as a person is to not only just be a player, but to guide these young players because they're the future for the sport. So when I was young and I was training with the likes of Caitlin Ford and Sam Kerr, like when you're training with high-profile players, you want them to back you, and that's what you get your confidence from. Whereas if you're getting yelled at for making mistakes, you're not going to be confident. So I suppose me as a person is obviously encouraging these younger players to try things, to do play your game, you know, because that's what brings confidence out in these younger players, and that's how football in our country is going to be better. So that's kind of my role and what I try and push for the younger players to do, just back themselves and be confident. If you make a mistake, work hard to get it back. So, yeah.
And for the Melbourne City fans too, who've been really starved of being able to go to games last season due to the COVID-19 pandemic here in Victoria, what does it mean now knowing that you're going to be potentially playing in front of full crowds come December when the season starts? It's really good now knowing that, you know, we're at 50% capacity for these FFA Cup games in the men's, but it's good to see that once the A-League women's season starts, that you guys are going to be playing to 100% capacity in Melbourne. And the message you want to send to the City fans for that?
Oh, yeah, I can't wait to have the fans. Like, you guys have had it pretty tough due to COVID, so to have no restrictions for the first, the games now is awesome. And, yeah, everyone come out and watch because the team's definitely looking exciting. And, yeah, like, we want to meet as many fans as we can. So whether you have young kids or not, come out and watch us.
Rihanna, we really appreciate your time this morning. Thank you so much for taking some time out to have a chat to us, and hopefully we'll be chatting to you throughout the course of the season. Good luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
Rihanna Polygina joining us there from Melbourne City. She's ready, which is good. She's excited.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Absolutely. I think she's got some phenomenal quality in the Millwall Park. I think, I think one of the unsung heroes last season for a Jets side that I think you could see that they were getting there in many instances, but not completely there in every department. So I think she's going to be a fantastic addition to that City side. I think, you've got a wonderful mix of youth and experience as well at City as well. You know, Naomi Chinema, as I mentioned before,
yep.
Very high on her as a centre-half. Caitlin Carrick is a very good midfielder. But I think, Rebecca Stott, good to see her back.
She's Hannah Wilkinson too.
Hannah Wilkinson, of course, the New Zealand contingent is right over there, which is great. So I think Melbourne City are really going to, get back into the swing of things this season. They've lost Tegan Micah, who's,
yep.
She's skyrocketed herself into Socceroos. Sorry, Matilda's contention.
She's been really good for the Matildas.
Yeah, she's been great. I mean, she didn't play in the recent friendlies against Brazil, but she still put in a fantastic shift.
Off the Olympics, yeah.
Yeah, I think she's probably going to be the number one moving forward. But speaking on that, Tomo, I think we should touch on those past games against Brazil.
Yeah,
I think more so these friendlies against the USA, which were announced this week. They're playing one of them at Stadium Australia. So I'm not, you shouldn't be laughing at that. I think
I know, but it's just, it's, it feels weird because we talked about the venue name changes and that sort of stuff. And I remember at ANZ Stadium before, I remember at Stadium Australia again. That's why I was sort of laughing about that.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, man. I think...
But no, it's really good that they get to play in front of a big crowd.
It's the USA, man. It's like... who won the gold medal at the Olympics again?
It was Sweden, wasn't it?
I think Sweden won the gold medal.
Because we played America
in the gold medal match.
Sweden, Canada in the gold medal match.
Yes.
And we played America in the bronze medal.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, look... The USA are a formidable opponent, I think, at home. What a better way to galvanize your support than, you know, get, 60,000 odd at Stadium Australia.
And get to play against one of, if
ANZ
not,
Stadium.
Yeah, if not the
there
best.
There we go.
If not the
best. We need to have a segment about guess the name your own sponsor for each stadium in the
A-League. Yeah, well, we should definitely do that over the summer.
Yeah, we should definitely do that, yeah.
But America, though, they are the best, or one of the best women's programs.
I will say that they're coming towards the end of
their dominance.
Yeah, for sure.
And Sweden as well. Sweden's, you know, up there too, is now one of the powerhouses in women's football. Canada is as well.
Yep, absolutely. I think, it's a big game for the Matildas. Tony Gustafsson is clearly putting a mechanism in place to ensure that the next generation are being put through. Defensively, they're just not there, I feel. I'm going to criticize, but I think that whether it's a three at the back or a four at the back, I don't feel as if Gustafsson has the proper mechanisms in place to ensure that this team will concede goals. Even at home, we're conceding goals to Brazil. We blew a 2-0 lead. It's all, you know, glossy. Look at the Matildas playing at home. Oh, they won their first game against Brazil, but we still conceded, and we still conceded twice against Brazil. We blew a 2-0 lead. This is not acceptable.
There's holes in his game plan.
There's complete holes. If he does not make the semifinals of the Asian Cup, he's gone, in my view. He's won two games out of, eight or something, or 10 in regulation time. It's unacceptable. I think the media's perception of the Matildas, I think within a lot of circles, has been all glossy and things like that. You got to put the microscope on Tony Gustafsson, because I don't think at the moment he has been all 100% positive. Recently, grinding out results against Brazil is great, but I think there's lingering issues below the surface that need to be identified, and I don't think that this I don't think the praising is doing the Matildas any good, because obviously they've had a lot of things to deal with off the field, and I think to put that away and focus on the game was a very impressive thing to do. And I think, that has to be taken into account. But if they don't get results against the USA or the Asian Cup, it's going to be very difficult for them to, you know, grind out anything of a meaningful result at the World Cup too. I know, but I went on a bit of a tangent there, but just had to say that.
I was going to say, this is sort of like, dress rehearsal for not only the Asian Cup, but also when we host the Women's World Cup in 2023 as well. Like, we want to sort of look as strong in front of an international contingent as well as our Asian Confederate contingent as well. Heading into that one, looking that we're meaning business and that we want to sort of try and win the champion. We want to win that World Cup.
I think, it's a little bit difficult to look that far into the future, but it's clear who the stars of this team are. Sam Kerr, Mary Fowler, in my view, Kyrie Cooney-Cross was fantastic as a six. There are really good players within the side, and I think they're utilizing them very well. I just feel that the defensive structure in which Gustafsson has embodied hasn't really paid dividends. You know, playing Eli Carpenter as a marauding right back up and down the wings is great, but does her defensive capabilities, are her defensive capabilities compromised as a result? These are the questions we have to examine.
We do indeed. I want to quickly look at the first two games, at least, for Melbourne City's women's team, because they've taken on Canberra United, which, again, another really well-developed women's system over, because they've trained out the AIS. That Viking Park is loud. when he gets there too.
They've got
a good crowd there. Like Canberra love their football, love their rugby, and
yeah.
If you've seen on TV the Viking clap, it's very synonymous with people from the ACC.
Absolutely.
So this is a very tough game for Melbourne City. I'm happy to go out on record and say it's a first tough game. And then the Melbourne Derby is next week after that. So on the 12th of December. So they've got a 9-day respite, which is good to see.
Yep.
But then they're playing against Melbourne Victory at Amy Park at 4:05 p.m. on the 12th of December. Your thoughts on the first two games for Melbourne City and where potentially they might end up after two rounds?
Victory have assembled a very good squad. Harriet Withers, Kyra Cooney Cross is back. They signed Courtney Nevin as well. It's a really good side that they've put together. I would not be surprised if Victory do, you know, cause them, you know, a bit of trouble. But I think the Canberra United game, it's, you know, they've just made some really stock standard re-signings. Nothing too groundbreaking from them. Obviously Michelle Hyman's back, which is great. But yeah, that's it's all smooth sailing for Melbourne City. I expect them to finish top four. I think they've really got some squad composition, which is fantastic. A bit more firepower, and there's no reason why they can't go and cause some trouble in the finals too. I do think that Melissa Barbieri should be the number one goalkeeper though.
Yeah.
Maybe that's just because I'm a bit biased. Just
and also because we've had Mel Barbieri on the show as well.
Yeah.
And we love Mel. Reasons.
But yeah, I think I'm not sure if I'm allowed to promote other podcasts, but do listen to her chat with Michael Zapponi and Archie Thompson. Brilliant stuff.
You can also, by the way, at 11 o'clock today, the best bits of Grazing with Pete Dillon is on. And next week, the Seeker panel is back with the cricket season coming up in the local cricket league here around Bayside. The Seeker panel with Mark Visser returns for the cricket season every Sunday from 10:30 to midday. So it's good to have not only a basketball show on at 9 a.m., then us at 9:30, and then you get to cricket at 10:30. It's all part of the Southern Sports Sunday mornings, which is really good from 9 to 12. So you get your dose in basketball, you get your dose in football, and you get your dose in cricket as well, which should be coming for a big, big summer ahead of sports. We'll take a short break. Perry Lambroil plus is going to join us from South Melbourne. Next, FFA Cup game on Friday. You're going to go to that one. So looking forward to getting Perry's thoughts on that entire game itself. It's going to be fantastic to watch. This is Kickoff. Neil Simons, Michael Thompson with you back after this.
Listening to Kickoff on 88.3 Southern FM.
Back on Kickoff is Sunday morning. Michael Thompson, Neil Simons with you. And joining us now, Neil, looking forward to this chat because you're going to be one of the people at Lakeside Stadium on Friday night. Perry Lambropoulos, he's a star from South Melbourne. He's done very, very well this season. He joins us right now. Melbourne City is their opponent. Perry, good morning. Welcome to Kickoff.
Good morning. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
How's the training session been coming back after a short layover after, you know, the unfortunate cancellation of the 2021 NPL Vic season where we couldn't fortunately get a result? But how's training been being back with the boys out in the park?
Yeah, I mean, training's been really good. Obviously, the season got cut short due to lockdown, so we're sort of in a bit of a window where we didn't know what was going to happen with the cup game, so us boys just kept ticking over. We were given a program to do during the time off. And then once we got the green light to get back on the park and start training, it was 100% concentration on that cup game and getting ready for next Friday night.
I think it's really viewed as one of the historic ties that South Melbourne have played in recent times. Of course, Melbourne City, you know, they're the A-League champions, A-League premiers, whatever you want to call them. How do the boys perceive this fixture? Obviously, a number of boys within the side have played in the A-League. What's the feeling around the squad?
Everyone's really excited. You don't get to play against the A-League teams sort of every day or every week. I mean, we're obviously in the NPL division and Melbourne City are the champs of the A-League, so it's a special occasion. I'm sure the boys will relish this opportunity. The coach has explained to us before that these games don't come around every time, so we've got to make them count and put our names out there. And like I said, we had a few boys that have played in the A-League, some that are looking to hopefully propel themselves into the A-League, so it's a great opportunity for them to put their names forward and get out there.
And Perry, we talked about it as well. Unfortunately, cancellation of the 2021 NPL season. How do you think the squad went this season? And sort of what did you sort of look back on after the unfortunate news of the cancellation, where you guys can vastly improve in 2022 and try and go that next step?
Yeah, 2021, we had a solid start. I think we ended up equal first or second after 6 or 8 games, and then had a bit of a slump. But we managed to continue our form in the Cup, which was great. Had a few penalty shootouts to qualify for the 32. So I think we were a bit disappointed with our league performance, but we're able to subsidise sort of that disappointment with a qualification in the round of 32.
And tell us a little bit about how excited you are as well in regards to the crowds coming back. I know 5K is permitted at Lakeside Stadium for Friday night. It's going to be good to hear the Hellers on the hills at Lakeside Stadium jumping up and down for you guys against, you know, the A-League champions.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. I mean, we're very lucky that we have a stadium that can hold a decent crowd. So we know we have a strong fan base with our South Melbourne fans, and we hope that they can get around on Friday night and get us through the 90 or the 120, whatever it is, and hopefully get a cup upset against the champs.
And I think South Melbourne played against Sydney FC about 4 years ago at Lakeside Stadium in territorial rain. Is that how you pronounce it? I'm not sure. In torrential rain.
Rain.
That's right. There we go. this being South's second crack in an A-League opposition, obviously a number of those boys who were in that team are still in this team. Sort of how what's the approach in terms of mentality? You'd have to say that the fitness levels, obviously you guys have received a program, which is fantastic. These A-League teams have had more time for pre-season. What are some of the adjustments that you guys have had to make in terms of fitness and things of that ilk?
Fitness, we've just been working really hard at training. Everyone's had 100% concentration on this game since we went back. So that's sort of been a blessing in disguise that we haven't had any distractions along the way with league games and other fixtured matches. So even we've had a few hit-outs amongst each other, and we've had a friendly game as well. And all that concentration has been how we're going to prepare for the game, what Melbourne City do, how they play, where their weak points are, and sort of how can we exploit that. So our coaching staff have been very detailed about the opposition and also about how we want to play and how we're going to approach it. So we've been pretty well prepared in that sense.
Absolutely. Obviously, the Socceroos squad announcement was this week. McLaren, Naboo and Leckie are out. So the front three from Melbourne City is essentially not going to be available. So a couple of youngsters, some of those playing, will have played NPL3 in the past or will be likely starting for the side. Does that really affect your preparation in any way, or is it just sort of smooth sailing ahead and just attack? Focus on the key facets of that City side, regardless of the players who are lining up.
Yeah, a bit of smooth sailing. Not so much smooth sailing. I don't think it'll be that smooth come Friday, but much the same on our end. I mean, if you look at Melbourne City, I mean, it would have been an honour to play against those front three on Friday night. But you look at the grand final that they played against Sydney FC, and those three players weren't a part of it, and they managed to get the win over Sydney. So I have no sort of doubt that those youngsters will be able to put on a performance against us. So we've just got to be as ready as we were as if it was McLaren, Naboo and Leckie playing.
Are you guys just going to treat this like a normal game, like you're playing an NPL squad?
definitely not, no. It's a battle with us. Our coach instills 100% commitment with every game we play. With this one, it's a one-off, so there's going to be a bit more of a fight, a battle, and I'm sure we'll do the South Melbourne community and fans proud.
And I think just last one from me, mate. Obviously, within your career, you've had quite a whirlwind career, I'd say. Obviously, you know, you started at the Oakley Cannons in Port Melbourne, and obviously now you're at South, and sort of in terms of significance within your career, this game has to be up there, surely.
Yeah, definitely. I haven't been able to play in too many big games in my career. I mean, I've had a pretty decent innings in the NPL and haven't really been able to progress that much further. But I've played in the final before. I've played in the 32 before against another NPL opposition, but to play against Melbourne City is... You just can't put your words to it, I guess. It's just a big opportunity, and anything can happen from here. Like I mentioned before, our coach said to us that if one player has a standout game, and anyone can get picked up and taken abroad or taken to another NPL club, another A-League club, so this is sort of a propeller for any young player in our squad or any mature player in our squad to sort of push themselves to the next level.
And Perry, I got to put us out there as well before we let you go too. You signed Javier Diaz-Lopez for the 2022 season. How excited is it to get yet another person from the Bentley Greens over who at times looked like he was just dominant between the sticks?
Yeah, I mean, Javi's been good. He's been training with us for a few weeks now. Like you said, he's just a dominant figure in between the posts. Hopefully he can help us get the job done on Friday night and keep a clean sheet, which would be fantastic. I mean, we sort of thrive off keeping clean sheets and getting one or two on the other end. So Javi looks like he's the right man for us at South for this cup game and for next year as well.
It would be pretty good to have someone like him keep a clean sheet against the A-League champions and really stamp his approval in front of the Hellas on Friday night, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure he would win the fans over straight away.
Awesome.
And finally as well for me, after this game against Melbourne City, win or lose, what's the training regimen like heading up into Christmas for you guys before you take a break and resume in the new year for the 2022 pre-season heading into the new season?
Yeah, there actually hasn't been too much discussion about sort of what the plan is. Don't think we want to get players too distracted about what sort of the next weeks are looking like or whether we're getting time off or when we're back into pre-season and sort of draining our bodies again for another big 2022. So from what I've heard or sort of what's been rumoured around the club is I think we get a few weeks off and then we're back in just before Christmas and then a solid pre-season through January and getting started in, I think it's middle of February.
And our man Neil Simons is actually going to be at Lakeside Stadium on Friday night. Can you do me one huge favour? Make sure that he's using his full voice for South Melbourne on Friday night, can you?
Definitely will.
I mean, I will be on the, the Bob Jane stand. I'm not sure. Well, I mean, the ticketing system is fantastic, and I encourage anybody, if you are listening, to pick up your tickets. It's a once-in-a-lifetime event, in my opinion, and to see Perry and the rest of the South Melbourne boys play is going to be an absolute
honour. And sell at Lakeside Stadium as well, which would be fantastic as
absolutely.
Well. For not only the FFA Cup, but also good for South Melbourne as well to have a big crowd there under the capacity limits at the moment. But fingers crossed, it's full.
Absolutely.
Full capacity goes when it comes to the 2022 season.
It's going to be a magical night, and I've been waiting for this ever since the draw was made. I'm sure you guys were getting up and about when the draw was announced. Perry, thank you so much for coming on, and best of luck next week.
Thank you very much, guys. Just on behalf of the team and the club, thank you for your time, and thanks for the interview.
Perry Lambropoulos joining us there from South Melbourne. Good guy.
Mate, you know, he's one of the well-spoken individuals within NPL football, and there are plenty of them out there as a whole, and I think, putting into context this game in historical terms, you got arguably the biggest club in Australia in the form of South Melbourne, who are not an A-League side.
No.
NSL, your powerhouses, House. Patrick Iznorbo, Ange Postecoglou, you know, players like Paul Trimboli as well, you know, those guys, Kombucianis, those players played a key role in what South Melbourne are today. And I think, the significance that this game has in terms of historical context and everything like that is massive. And
Soccer Twitter went into a frenzy when South drew with Melbourne City months ago. And it was great to see.
Absolutely. And I think, memes will be made.
Yep.
Things will happen, but you just have to really admire what this zone draw does for Australian football. And I think it's absolutely wonderful. No matter what the result is, it's going to be a packed stadium, packed boutique stadium in South Melbourne for that fixture. And, you know, Tomo, mate, you have to get down there.
I've got to get down there. I'm trying my best. I've got work commitments on Friday night, but I'm trying to sort of maybe scave them off a little bit so that I can come down to South and Melbourne City, because I do want to come to Lakeside Stadium.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful stadium. I've actually never been inside Lakeside Stadium.
Oh, really?
But I've driven past it so many times.
Oh, wow. So. I thought you would have done some NPL comms there.
No, I haven't done it. No, I mean,
I've actually had the honour of refereeing a game there once. Very, very youth South Melbourne players. But what I was surprised about is that, you know, South have got a fantastic facility there. The players that they've got are fantastic. They've got some really good, you know, squad composition as well. Obviously, they've had a couple of departures in the offseason, Henry Hoare being one of them.
Yep. But he's gone on to better things, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think, you know, obviously the squad registration is quite difficult, from my understanding, in the NPL. But taking all these things into account, Melbourne City coming into this game as the favourites. And I think, you know, it could be a bloodbath. It could be a very tense 0-0 draw. But South will have the support. City have obviously got some allocation of tickets too, which is great. And you know what?
About 90% of them are going to be Hellas fans. And it's going to be good to see,
though. We'll see. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, City do have quite a good support. Obviously, it is within that city and catchment area too.
The one thing I do miss, though, is the canteen at local games like South and Heidelberg and the Euros
best
that
believe.
they
best
cook
believe
up.
A souv will be consumed.
Souv, you
are. Or multiple.
Yep. Beautiful, beautiful food. Really quick before we take a short break, your thoughts on Wednesday night's fixture too, because we might as well give a quick preview.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there actually are two. It's actually Western City taking on Broadmeadow Magic as well.
Yep.
And also Hume City versus Port Melbourne. Hume City have actually had quite a lot of departures. Pat Langlois being the key one, formerly of the Newcastle Jets. But they've also lost Danny Dixon as well, which is a big, big loss.
I like Danny Dixon.
Yeah, absolutely. Port Melbourne have signed Troy Ruthren as well, which is a decent pickup from them. But yeah, I'd say Hume City will comfortably get the victory there. I mean, they defeated Avondale in preseason, I think 4-1 in this past week as well. And they also played victory at Amy Park as well.
Yeah.
I think it was a 3-1 loss for them, which is, you know, by all respects, it's decent, very decent.
At least one thing, though, it's good that a lot of the NPL teams are getting a little bit of practice in before they play the FFA Cup games, try and get that match simulation back again, like they've been missing
out
great.
On.
And
I think it's really good that the A-League sides can play against NPL opposition. I think West United and City have played against each other like 3 times already, which is a bit weird, considering Aloisi, in an interview with us a couple of weeks ago, said that we don't want to play the sides
and
too
much. And as Perry said, they don't know what's going to happen after the game against City, win or lose.
It's COVID, man. Yeah. I think
more so like how many more weeks before they sort of take that short sabbatical over Christmas and New Year's and then refresh and get ready and prepare for the 2022 NPL season.
That's the real thing, I think, and we'll just have to see how it plays out.
Lucas Ronaldo is going to join us on the other side of this. This is Kickoff on Southern FM. As I said, Lucas Ronaldo from 7 News Adelaide and Kick 360 to join us on the other side of this. This is Neil Simons and Michael Thompson. We'll be back after this.
You're listening to Kickoff on 88.3 Southern FM.
Back on Kickoff for your Sunday morning on 88.3 Southern FM. And we like to do this each and every Sunday. We like to head over and talk to one of the fine journos from Kick360. You can head to kick360.com.au for articles, videos, photos. They've got a little podcast happening as well. Make sure you get involved with that one. In particular, we're chatting to someone out of SA. I know his dad very, very well. He works as the 7 News Adelaide journal over there. He's also Kick360's own SA correspondent. His name is Lucas Ronaldo. Lucas, good morning. Welcome to Kickoff.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much for having me. I'm very excited to be on my debut.
Hopefully it's not your last, that's for sure.
Very good.
We might as well address the big news that's come out over the last couple of weeks, and that's Josh Cavallo's bravery to come out to become the first openly gay footballer in professional leagues around the world.
Yeah, it's a very special story. He's shown, like you say, a lot of bravery in coming out, and is even now it's been a couple of weeks, but he's still doing the circuit in terms of interviews and stuff. I think he did something with GQ yesterday. This is arguably one of the biggest football stories in the history of the A-League, and it's amazing how well he's done in terms of he's truly making himself a pioneer for people to look up to. I did an interview with Bernie Halloran a couple of days after, and after the announcement, and he was saying, "Oh yeah, Josh has done 60 interviews on the day that happened. He did 60 interviews in 24 hours. He was up at 5 a.m. On the day and just speaking to everyone. And every time he's spoken with such passion and such such courage, and it's really impressive to see a guy who's not very old as well, taking on this sort of this mantle and sort of being someone to look up to for a lot of people that will now hopefully be more open being themselves."
Absolutely, and I think Lucas, obviously heading into this season, Adelaide United have assembled quite the roster, obviously bringing back in Isaias, George Blackwood as well, of course sprinkling them around players such as Jacob Tratt and Nick Ansell. How does the side fare this season? Obviously Craig Goodwin and Stefan Walk are not up to fitness yet, but I guess from your perspective, how are the guys tracking?
I think, Stefan Walk played in I think he should be ready for round one. He started, the Reds had a trial game against an MPL SA select side on Friday night, and Stefan started. Goodwin was on the bench against Brisbane last week, but had a bit of food poisoning, so he didn't play. So they should, at the very least, be in the squad for round one. I don't know, I think in terms of this season, I think it's going to be a struggle, in all honesty, as much as it hurts me. I think it's a good squad, but it's very unbalanced. I think the defence might struggle. Ryan Strain is a massive loss. Jordan Elsey is a massive loss. And I think in midfield, Calvia at the end of last season, after they got knocked out of the finals, spoke about they really needed a new number 10. And he hasn't got one. So he's got another defensive midfielder. Isaias is probably the best player in the club's history, in my opinion. But in saying that, they still haven't fixed the error from last season in terms of creativity from midfield. So, in all honesty, I think it could be a long season for Adelaide.
And what do you think, Carl Vietz? what do you think his expectation is of the club this season? Whereas, you know, you're not too confident on where they might be, but Carl V, like from reading his body language and being over there in SA, what do you think he's expecting from his squad this season?
Well, I think that the club's always making noises about, oh, we're going to try and make top six during the week. Stefan Morg said, we're going to try, we're aiming for top four. I think they're capable because it's not as much as I'm probably being a bit down on them. It's not too dissimilar a squad from last year. The worry is, of course, you've got Victory, who will be much stronger. You've got a lot of like, Wanderers, who will be much stronger. And then Melbourne City and Sydney aren't going to be any weaker. So it's hard to see where they're sort of going to crack in, especially to that top four. But I think the aim is always to make finals. I think for Carl and for Ross as well, I think it could be a big season for Bernardo Oliveira. He's been the son of Cassio, of course. He's been very good in pre-season and in the FA Cup games. And from the people I've spoken to at the club, he's expected to play a pretty strong role. They've got rid of Alpha Santore, of course. He's gone over to the Eastern States. So it'll be interesting to see if he sort of picks up the mantle. Al-Hassan did want to play out wide, and Bernardo looks like he's going to be a new winger. And I guess Craig has had a lot of injury struggles, so I think he's sort of favourite to pick up that mantle when Goodwin's not fit.
And I know that we spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, but I know that Kasuni Yenge is potentially going to be wanting to play that one-out striker position, a bit our number one striker at Adelaide. What's your thoughts on that one?
Well, Cassini's a brilliant, brilliant player, and Abel's very, very high on him as well. But the issue is, obviously, his fitness. He's struggled at times to maintain fitness. He's had a lot of soft tissue injuries. And so... now that they don't really have too much backup with Al Hassan leaving, now it's a bit of a struggle of what happens if he does get another injury. He's still a young guy and he's a quality player. I really like that. When Juric left, I thought, yeah, this is Yangi's chance, because as good as Juric is, I think Yangi showed that he could be just as good in his games last season. But the problem is, if he does get injuries, I do fear about a lack of depth up front. It'll probably be Benny Halloran playing as nine, or maybe Mohamed Toure. But yeah, I think that's the big concern, is keeping him fit.
I guess the last one from me, obviously. A lot of talk about Adelaide City heading into NPL circles, with Greg Griffin talking a lot about how the competition's in disrepute and all this stuff, because Victory are playing Perth in Adelaide, which is an interesting neutral venue for sure. Just your take on that. Obviously, Adelaide City technically haven't even played a game yet in the FFA Cup latter stages, with the play-in to occur in a couple weeks for Victory against Perth. And, well, what's the situation there? Are the players getting paid? Are they training? What's going on?
So they're still training at the moment. The FFSA had their celebration of football last night, so I'll speak to a few of the City players. So they're still playing, and they still have to get paid at the moment, which is frustrating for Adelaide City, of course. Like you say, Greg Griffin's not too happy. I think he said that he'll play the under-15s if he has to, which won't happen, but he's making the threat. I don't know. It's a sticky situation, because as much as it's harsh in Adelaide City because they've got to wait till December, obviously last year finished late as well, now they've got to finish late again. But at the same time, there's not much the FFA can do. With the way the cup's structured, they sort of have to wait for these borders to open. And I don't think there's much more they can do. As much as City complaining, I'm not sure if there's too much in the way of solutions going on there, in all honesty. But at the same time, I get where they're coming from, because having to pay for players for an extra 2 months is a big loss for, obviously, a local club. But now we've got the possibility of Perth and Melbourne in Adelaide, which could be interesting. Daniel Sturridge is still getting back to fitness, so there is the possibility he might miss round one, and his debut could come in Adelaide.
Lucas, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Really appreciate it. We can't wait to chat to you throughout the course of the A-League season.
Thanks very much for having me, guys. Enjoy.
Lucas Winaldo joining us there from Kick 360. Remember, coming up at 11 o'clock is the best bits of Grazing with Pete Dillon. Neil, before we let you go, what's coming up on kick360.com.au this week?
Yeah, heading into the A-League season, a lot of stuff. Socceroos, which we haven't even touched on. That show's been so packed, we didn't even touch on Socceroos.
That's a shame. We'll definitely donate. Also, we'll dedicate, sorry, I should say. Donate. I need another coffee. We'll dedicate a segment to the Socceroos next week.
Absolutely. But yeah, Socceroos stuff this week. A massive tactical preview came out last week from Tom Williams. Some stuff on Anthony Caceres, of course. A long, long read on South Melbourne. You know, they've got a fantastic lineage, fantastic history, and Tom Williams will be dissecting that, I think, with comments from Marcus Schroen, and also Marko Jankovic as well, who's Tom's personal favourite.
Yep.
Shout out to Tom.
Former Bentley Green there.
Yeah. Jankovic. He scored against Wellington.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Good stuff.
Yeah, also other stuff in the women's game as well. Plenty of stuff on that end too. But yeah, it's we're heading up to the A-League season. It's going to be a lot of fun on Kick 360. And we're going to bring you all of it on Southern FM too. So very, very pleased. And thank you for Tomo for this pod, mate.
Oh, good.
Or live show, whatever you call it.
Next week, the Sinker Panel with Mark Bisson returns for the cricket season every Sunday from 10:30 a.m. to midday. Neil Science, Michael Thompson signing off. We'll be back same time, same place next week from 9:30.